Hi, welcome to Adventures in Artslandia. This is a little added value for this week in that I was sent a really interesting website about a group called From the Ground Up, which is an accessible youth arts program, and they're offering a young women's residency program. And right now, I'm looking for a lot of things to make me feel hopeful about the great things we can do through art with young people, and this seems like one of them. So I'm going to give a call over to Catherine Murphy Lewis, who is their executive director, and talk a little bit about their organization. This program is going to give participants an opportunity to train with women artists from around the state in 10 different mediums in the world of performing arts. Classes are going to include improv, movement for the performer, modern dance, clowning, songwriting, and design, just to mention a few. So they're going to take each resident who doesn't have to have any experience in performance. They're going to connect them with a mentor, and then they're going to have a period of time where they're going to do some studying, and then they're going to create and perform a solo piece in a public performance at the end of the program. It's an incredible opportunity, and it is supported by the Regional Arts and Culture Council and Ronnie LaCroute. You can find out more at their website, which is fromthegrounduppdx.wixsite.com. That's fromthegrounduppdx.wixsite.com. Well, hi, everybody. I have got Catherine Murphy Lewis on the phone, who is the executive director of From the Ground Up. And Catherine, how did From the Ground Up come into your mind, and how has it evolved?
Yeah, so I had just moved back to Portland from the East Coast after some travel after college, and I worked for a summer camp program as the lead playwriting teacher. And we had 12 incoming high school freshmen that were part of that program. And it was a month-long summer program, and we had this very intense, wonderful month together where we sort of created a company of people. And me and a couple other women who worked on that program, Anna Crandall and Chantal DeGroat, the three of us sort of started brainstorming about how we could keep this group of kids together and continue to offer services for them, because after that month, the program just sort of ended. And so what manifested from there was From the Ground Up. And so we were like, well, if we're going to offer services to these kids, why don't we start a whole company?
And how long have you been in existence?
This is our fourth, we're going into our, we just had our fourth birthday.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, so we launched sort of this time of year, 2013.
Mm-hmm.
And so our first year we did a pilot program where 12 high school freshmen, those 12 kids, plus one, well, it was 11 of the kids that had been in the summer program and one new member who was a friend of one of the students. That created 12 of them. We worked together for the course of the year, and we created an original mythology about where art came from.
Mm.
And that was this really magical experience. We got a small RAC grant that helped that program as well, and and some support from the wonderful Ronnie LaCroute, and we were housed at the Malagra Theater, and we did this great program, and that was our first for a year, and then we did a fall summer program that followed that up. And then from there, we've grown every year. We've doubled, if not more, our student base every year, which has been really exciting. So we went from serving 25 kids in our first year to 50 in our second to closer to 100 in our third.
Oh.
And then in this last year, we've actually reached these in-school residencies, weekend workshops, and intensives, like working with English departments, and we did a poetry out loud, like performance training seminar. So one of the schools was doing poetry out loud, and I came in and did lectures throughout the day, and we went into classrooms and helped students with the performance parts of poetry. And so that was an example of one thing, and then we also have longer residencies where we write original material with students. And they perform it, and that can be in either spoken word or performance pieces. We have a performance troupe that writes an original show every year and performs every spring. Those 12 kids that founded the program with us just graduated this last June, And all 12 of them were in the final showcase. And we did a show called Senioritis the Musical. It was a parody on their senior year of high school.
Oh, how fantastic.
It was really wonderful. And so in this last year, we've been able to reach 758 students in our programming, which has been incredible. And since then, Anna Crandall has gone on to do very many exciting things, and so has Sean Toldegrew, and I'm sure many people who are listening are familiar with her wonderful acting career here in Portland. And so I kind of hunkered down and stayed with someone that got up, and it's pretty much a one-man band. I mean, I do the administering and the fundraising and the curriculum development and the majority of the teaching. And we're very lucky going into this year through support from the Regional Arts and Culture Council, as well as Ronnie McCruits and other small community members, individual donors, smaller individual donors, to be able to start to have a little bit of a staff. So I have an intern executive assistant now, and I'm hiring a bunch of guest artists for a bunch of new programming that we're launching this year.
That is incredible. I mean, to reach over 700 young people is just kind of blows my mind. I'm a little speechless.
Thank you. Yeah, I'm a little speechless. When I sat down, I was going into a round of funding meetings and talking to people about what we were doing this year. And so I sat down and kind of quantified some numbers. And I was like, oh my, we've reached a lot of students this year. I had not quite realized it was that much in 2016.
Yeah, I mean, this is the kind of work I think that is just inspires hope for the future, and that is much needed, at least for me personally.
I feel you. Since the turning of events in the world has been very, takes a lot to sort of suit up and walk into the world each day and kind of keep your eyes forward and focused on the hopeful stuff. It's a lot of extra work right now with everything going on.
Right. And I was especially taken with the residency program that's coming up, and I wanted to get this up on the podcast as soon as possible, just so that young people who are interested in maybe exploring their artistic side. I thought it was especially fantastic that you don't need to have any prior experience.
Yeah, so we're launching a young women's residency program, which is we got a wonderful grant from the Regional Arts and Culture Council. Mm-hmm. Always a tongue twister for me. Mm-hmm. And supporting this particular program. And so what we're doing is we're selecting 8 young women out of the community through a very short and simple application process and then an open workshop and info session that will participate in a residency that will take place over the year. Well, they will work with 10 professional female artists from around the state. So we have, for example, Terry McMahon, who's a wonderfully talented actress coming all the way up from the Oregon Shakespeare Festival in Ashland to do some teaching with us. Sil Stengel, who's a well-known improv artist from that region as well as a lot of local professional artists will be teaching with us. And the residents will get to take those 10 workshops. And in those 10 workshops, they will also be developing original material. And from there, through my mentorship, and my assistant directors, they will create solo shows that will be performed in early June at the end of the residency. And yes, no experience required at all. We're more looking for sort of people who are dynamic and storytellers and are interested in the arts and would like to explore them more deeply. And we're very interested in making sure we curate a diverse group of young women that represents the diverse Portland that I think can sometimes be looked over in programming because of access. And so residents will get to participate entirely for free in this program. And we are making sure to reach out to other nonprofits working with minorities or the LGBTQ community to make sure that we create a group that represents a lot of different stories, a lot of different backgrounds.
So I see first, if people are interested in applying, they need to go to an online application and fill out a series of questions. And then the first 25 applicants will be invited to the open workshop and info session. And then 8 of the 25 will be selected to participate. So there's a clickable link on the website. And I already put the website at the beginning of the podcast before we were talking.
And, oh, wonderful.
Yeah, so young people, you know, dive into this. It's such a wonderful way to connect, and I think couldn't more encourage young people to get involved in the arts in some way.
Well, and I think we're in a place where storytelling, we're in a kind of place, I mean, we sort of always are, right? Where storytelling is so important. And so much of the research out there in psychology and also in sociology points to that we develop deeper empathy when we hear and tell our stories, and in a way that the community is able to hear them and engage in them. And so a lot of our work at From the Ground Up is helping young people develop and find platforms to share their stories and their worldviews. And I think now more than ever, now we really need that. We really need that in our world. And I think particularly young women, it's really powerful to get to see young women. I mean, women are still marginalized in art, particularly in theater, as we know, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So I think it's really important that we work towards equity and justice in that area to ensure that, because the diversity of stories is sort of the point, right? That we're hearing from more, we're hearing from people of color, we're hearing from people of different sexual orientations, we're hearing from people who don't, who maybe moved here from another country and don't speak English and have a different worldview than us. If we're hearing all the same stories all the time, we sort of get these two-dimensional views of the world, I think. So that's underneath all of this residency, that's, and this organization, that's what we're working towards, and that's sort of the hope behind all of that.
Right. I mean, and in my experience, no matter what you do, ultimately, I mean, these young people will have a whole life ahead of them to figure out what they're going to do with their lives, whether it's arts related or not. But this type of education is just so nurturing and beneficial for anybody in any profession. Collaboration, listening, storytelling, sharing these kinds of stories is just going to nurture you your whole life long.
Absolutely, and we're finding out in education that really to develop the hard skills, like reading, writing, math, you know, the things that our formal education focuses on that are very important, indeed, you know, are the ways to communicate and navigate the world. But to really learn those skills, you have to develop the soft skills first, which is like perseverance, grit, the willing to take healthy risks.
Discipline.
The willingness to fail.
Mm-hmm.
Discipline, exactly. Seeing a project through.
Mm-hmm.
And the art is really good at teaching those soft skills.
Yep.
And so I think as we go into another period of, you know, where we're, I think we're going to see funding sort of trickle away, and we're seeing it being pulled out of public schools more and more, we need to really sort of raise the consciousness on the arts isn't about creating artists necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Arts is about developing exactly that, what you just said, those skills. And that's why we need it in our schools and in our communities.
Yeah,
outside of the storytelling and empathy aspect, which is a whole other element, but as far as education goes, it's so crucial.
Mm-hmm.
And so that, you know, and that's why I, you know, we're not calling it an audition, because it isn't an audition. And the application is like really just getting names and a few questions to get a sense of who you are.
Mm-hmm.
Because I think a lot of times you get shied away. You think you're not experienced enough, or you're not quote unquote talented enough. And that's not what this, particularly this residency, is about, or so. So, yeah, that's sort of what I hope that the young women who get to participate will take away all those things with them. That's the goal.
Yeah, I find that this kind of work is the thing. It's infectious. The minute you are in a room with people and you're willing to listen and develop and have a process, you want to continue in that vein. And that's one of the pieces of the puzzle right now, I think, in our culture, with electronics taking such a big part of our lives or taking up a lot of space, that it the only way to combat it is with that FaceTime and that you know, face-to-face contact and process.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think, you know, especially community work right now, you know, it's kind of in our name. It's sort of from the ground up. I believe that change really happens
it starts in the small community, it starts with individuals, and it ripples outward.
Yeah.
And I don't think we're going to see any kind of large-scale change without that element there, without sort of starting with our communities and our young people and creating spaces that change is possible in,
mm-hmm.
ideas are possible in, and then going from there. You know, and as we look back sort of on social justice and the history of political and social movements, you'll see oftentimes that the birthplace of them is a community effort. And then from there, this, you know, there's a huge ripple effect of that work.
We have an event at Artist Repertory Theater called Late Night Piano Bar, and it might be something that your community of students might like to attend, especially since they wrote a musical. I don't know if you've heard about it, but it's actually going to happen this Saturday night, weather permitting, I hate to say, but got to say it now.
Right.
But it's a really fun place where a lot of young people have been congregating and singing and spending time together, and it might be a nice crossover.
Absolutely. I think our students, I don't know about this Saturday as well because with the weather and everything, but definitely is it every month?
It's once a month at Artist Repertory Theater. It's especially with young people. I think it's so great to provide them opportunities to be together and do, you know, kind of, I think, courageous things, sharing music and just enjoying time together, like we said, face to face.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think those kinds of things, that sounds wonderful. I will definitely come.
Sounds good.
I think that those things that, you know, and those were things were so much more, have been so much more common. And as you were saying, like the technology and sort of the way the world's developing. And there's so many benefits, right, from technology and all of that as well. But we also lose something. I mean, everything in life. For me, my experience of the world is that everything in life is a trade-off, and I think technology falls wonderfully into that view of that we get all of these great things, but then we also sort of lose some really important stuff as well.
Right.
And how we sort of nurture both, right? How we gain from the developments in technology without losing the face time and the community. I don't know. I think that's going to be sort of our quandary going into this modern world that we live in.
Right. It takes a real attention. You know, it's easy to get sucked in because it's lots of fun, the technology, and I don't deny it. I love it myself. That said, it just takes some real dedication to, you know, freeing your body and mind from the constraints of it, you know, and being cognizant of what you're doing and taking responsibility for it. It's interesting. It's going to be fascinating to see how it plays out.
Yeah, absolutely. And I was actually speaking with a friend of mine last night as the snow of Portland came to cancel Portland today. and we were talking about how, so my generation, this sort of period of time where you were born between like the mid-70s to the mid-80s, we're in this really interesting time period because we didn't really have technology growing up. But right as we were coming of age, like right as we were leaving high school and headed into college, the internet sort of really became popular.
Mm-hmm.
And then cell phones came on the scene right in our early 20s. And so every like generation before us had technology. They didn't get technology until they were in their 30s, really.
Mm-hmm.
And every generation after us had it from as long as they could remember.
Right.
And so we were sort of in this generation where it flipped, and so we have a very special relationship to it.
You're in the chasm.
So we're very aware of it, and we know how to use it and engage it, I think, unlike, or not that other generations don't know how to use it and engage it now,
mm-hmm.
but we didn't acclimate to it as much. We didn't have to acclimate to it as much.
Yeah.
But we still are a little, I mean, for me, I'm like, still a little hesitant, almost, maybe the word. Skeptical of it a little bit. But I'm the same way. I mean, it's been it's so nice. I can get work done waiting for a meeting to start on my phone or, you know, all that come with it. But it doesn't, I'm someone who's very into calling and talking to my friends who I don't live in the same city of. Let's not just text, let's share a phone conversation.
Right. It's
hear how you're doing.
Yeah, really, really hear the voice. And yeah, I agree. It's I hit a wall recently. I have all sorts of jobs and, you know, I'm scheduling a lot of things, and I hit the wall with the email, and I thought, oh, forget it. I can't do any more email scheduling. It's going to drive me bats because, you know, it just gets into this set feeling. It almost feels like early computer days of not dots and dashes, but that very mechanical way of being in the world, kind of old-fashioned computer, tick, 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 tick. You know, it doesn't feel like it. There's no breath, I guess, is that's what it is. Not breath in it. And that just gets to me after a while.
Yeah, I think we're finding out more and more with research how really interacting with screens as much as we are and interacting with as much data as we're interacting with every day.
Mm-hmm.
I think that we ingest far more. I know we ingest far more data than we ever have every day.
Yeah.
Just between ads and Facebook blurbs and this and that, and on our phone and on the radio, and we're constantly absorbing data.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we're going to keep finding out how that affects the human psyche as well as just the functionality of the brain.
Yes.
I don't know. I'm not a scientist. Absolutely. I'm very far from being a scientist, but I find that I wonder about that sometimes.
Mm-hmm. And I think as artists that we have an intuition about how the body and mind function in the world that's just as integral to the understanding of the human experience as science.
Well, I think that we have the wonderful luxury of artists. I think it was Gabby Hoffman, the actress Gabby Hoffman, that said this, but we have this wonderful luxury that our work is to dive deeper into our own humanity, thus exploring others' humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, we get to develop those softer skills and those intuitive skills more.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because they're just a muscle like anything else.
Right.
I mean, it's that chicken or egg. Are you intuitive that you're drawn to the arts, or you developed them in the arts? Who knows exactly where that line falls? But I do think that that muscle gets exercised more in our work life.
Yes.
I think that in all areas, and even business, I mean, working on, you're starting to see, right, like big companies like Google pay to have improv workshops come in and work with them on creation and innovation and teamwork to help companies run better. So I think the more we incorporate those skills in every element of life,
mm-hmm.
The better the world will be. But yeah, we do. We get that as artists. We get to really think. We're forced to or asked to think deeply about humanity, about the human condition.
Well, thank you so much for talking to me about the Young Women's Residency Program through From the Ground Up. I will put the website on the podcast. It will be up on Monday. And tell Ronnie LaCrude hi for me. She is an amazing supporter of the arts, and golly, we're so grateful to have her in our community.
I know, she really is. I think everyone calls her the patron saint of arts around here. Patron saint of theater and art in Portland. She is lovely. I'll pass on the hello, and thank you very much for giving me a call and having me on the podcast.
Oh,
I
you're
really
so welcome.
Appreciate it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and I also want to give a shout out to the Regional Arts and Culture Council because they are doing great things, and I feel more and more appreciative of where they're putting their funds as I see what's happening with them. It's very exciting and wonderful.
Yeah. I'm really grateful to them as well. So a huge thank you to both of Ronnie and them from me as well.
All right. Well, I hope we'll meet at some point in time, and all best to you and the residency program, and have a wonderful rest of your snow day.
I will. Thank you so much. You as well.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye, Catherine.